Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. So I didn't really have a topic or a theme in mind for today's podcast episode. And then Monday morning, I log in to kind of go through all the social media comments that came in over the weekend. I kind of sort them all in one spot. And guys, there was a theme. There was a bunch of spicy comments. And they weren't all in one post. They were like from older posts, from recent posts. They were kind of all over the place. And normally I really don't get any spicy comments. And so I had to respond to all of these. And I have to tell you, with one of them, I got a little spicy back. So I thought this would be a good episode for today's podcast, is I'm going to share the spicy comments that I got over the weekend and what I replied with. Okay, so let's start with the one that I had a kind of snarky reply back to. Because, you know, it was Monday morning. I'd already had one coffee. I was sipping coffee number two. And I was ready to clap back. So this was on an older post about errorless learning. I talk about errorless learning all the time. I've got a YouTube video on it, actually several. We've got podcast episodes on it. We've talked about it a lot, right? So it's a post on errorless learning, and the comment was, "Errorless learning," in quotes, "sounds amazing. Now I get to do errorless learning where I make $300 an hour for existing, and I get errorless laundry, where laundry folds itself and smells like lavender dreams. Because if learning without mistakes is possible, I'd like to subscribe to that reality." That was a comment. You guys, I mean, I could not take the bait. I had to. So obviously this commenter did not read the post or has not done any research on errorless learning or consumed any of our other content related to errorless learning. So I had to. So I politely replied back that I am so happy for you that you found a job where you make $300 for existing. That sounds lovely. Then I politely followed up with, "Well, errorless learning is a great evidence-based teaching tool that can teach foundational skills like one-to-one correspondence, fine motor skill building. It can build work endurance and independence and task initiation. It's great to build autonomy, and these are things that we can also utilize to work on vocabulary and other expressive and receptive language topics. Those are all skills that I subscribe to." I thought that was funny because she mentioned subscribing to a reality where learning without mistakes is possible. So obviously there was a disconnect on what errorless learning is and the purpose of it. We don't want to do errorless learning forever and ever, but for some kids, this is a really valuable starting off point when we need to work on sitting, attending, following instructions, imitation, joint attention, building up independence and work endurance. I can't say it enough how important independence and work endurance is. That's why I teach independent learning in half the training sessions that I do, because we want our kids to be independent. None of you sit with your principal to write every IEP or every report card. That would be super weird. You do it independently. You do it on your own. Being able to work without another adult is such a critical life skill. And errorless learning can help our kids get towards that reality. And that's something that's really important, because sometimes we have students that are so prompt dependent or are so used to getting a ton of help from teachers and caregivers and parents that we do need to challenge them with being able to fade that out and work by themselves. So I will stand by errorless learning, guys, because it is so helpful and valuable for a lot of our learners. Okay, spicy comment number two. This was in an old TikTok. TikTok, we usually get, like, I would say the spiciest comments. People feel free on TikTok. So this was on an old TikTok where it was kind of an unpopular opinion episode or edition or video, whatever it is. And I was saying how paraprofessionals should be working in the role of educating students in the classroom. I also go on in the video to say, does that mean that you say, hey, paraprofessional, you get the math goal, I get the language arts goal, see you at the end of the year? No, that's absolutely not what that means. That means that as the teacher, we write the IEP goals, we set up the learning activities, we set up the data systems, we set up the educational strategies, and then as that class leader, we teach our paraprofessionals how to provide instruction on these goals with everything we set up. We're not asking paraprofessionals to write the IEP goals, create the educational programs. We're doing all that as the teacher, but then we are teaching our paraprofessionals to implement the instruction. That's why we have paraprofessionals in our classroom, to provide instruction and to get more goals done, more academic work done at one time. So the comment to this video was, if you are seeing paraeducators do that, then the teacher is not leading and you should talk to the teachers, not the paras. So it kind of really didn't make sense at first. But I think the point is here that paraprofessionals should not be doing teaching. And I completely disagree with this. I had such amazing relationships with many paraprofessionals in the classroom where they genuinely loved being in the role of providing instruction. It can be much more fulfilling and much more fun to provide instruction throughout the day instead of just undoing task boxes and bringing kids to and from inclusion in the bathroom. But we want to clarify that the roles of obviously the teacher and paraprofessional are very different. And I say in the video, our paraprofessionals, we can all agree, have very challenging jobs and are absolutely not paid enough. But within their role, it is not to write IEPs, to create lesson plans, anything like that. That is the role of the teacher. But within the role of the paraprofessional is to support those educational goals in the classroom. And that includes teaching skills. That includes taking data. That's part of that role. As teachers, it is a really, really hard part of the teacher role to lead that team and to provide training to your team members on how to do all of the parts of their jobs. So I do a ton of trainings and podcasts and YouTube videos all about staff training because it's a hard part of the job of a teacher. But it is a part of the job of the teacher to train their team, and it is a part of the paraeducator's role in the classroom to provide instruction when everything is set up for them.
So something you may not know about me is I actually love cooking, but I've been so busy lately that I've had to come up with some little hacks to make cooking a little easier. And one of my favorite hacks recently is using frozen Washington red raspberries. They're picked at peak freshness and frozen right away, so when you defrost them, they're still so good. Last week, the girls and I made muffins, and they were delicious. And I think next week I'm going to make salad dressing with them because I have them in my freezer and I can defrost them anytime. I love that they're always ready to go. I don't waste them because when I buy fresh ones, sometimes I don't use them all and I hate wasting food. I usually get my frozen raspberries at Kroger or Meijer's, and this has just made cooking and baking for me a lot easier. Look for Product of the US on the bag. So if you want more details on where to find American frozen red raspberries plus other recipe ideas and cooking tips, head over to redraz.org. That's redraz.org, and you'll find other retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus some info on how these berries go from farm to freezer, plus the quality with the quality that you can taste.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
All right, on to spicy comment number 3. So this comment was on a YouTube video about de-escalation strategies, and I'll summarize the comment. The comment said, I just did a training, and they said social stories are not evidence-based. And giving someone who is having a meltdown choices, that many choices, seems like it would overwhelm them. Only give 2 choices as a max, because that would help the child calm down. So this video, I'm talking about a bunch of different de-escalation strategies. I think I show a social story within visuals, but I do focus a lot on giving choices. When we are giving calm down strategies, we don't know how someone's gonna best calm down. If they wanna take a walk, if they wanna talk about it, if they wanna be left alone, if they wanna drink water. So I always lean on both the use of visuals to reduce expressive language and kind of keep things quieter, and the use of choices to put that child in control in a time when they feel very out of control. So whenever I give behavioral advice, obviously, it is very general. This isn't about a specific student because I don't know that specific student. There are some kids that could be overwhelmed by having 4 or 5 choices, for sure. So then you would modify that. With any general strategy I give in a podcast or a YouTube video, we have to modify for the individual student needs because I don't know your student. However, 2 choices is not a ton, and we want to be very careful if we're giving only 2 choices, that those are 2 coping strategies and de-escalation methods that we know has worked for that child and that child prefers. I do worry giving a very limited amount of choices, like 2 choices, could not be enough options to give the student the coping strategy that they need. With a method like giving coping choices, that's something we want to prepare for ahead of time. We're going to be talking about those coping choices, showing that choice board, practicing those de-escalation strategies away from the meltdown. During the meltdown should not be the first time that this child sees this coping strategy choice board. They should already be familiar with it. They've already practiced it. They already know what the options are. So when you pull out that visual, they are ready to choose which one is going to help them calm down. So I think that can help reduce that overwhelm, is knowing those choices ahead of time and having practiced them. Okay, last spicy comment. And I actually don't even know if I'd classify this one as spicy. This one is more like mild to medium, but I actually thought this was a great discussion to bring up. So this was on a video or a post, something about de-escalation, kind of similar to the last one. And it was a very long comment, and it was about how when this commenter had worked in a preschool setting, if a child was being aggressive, they were told to remove everyone else from the classroom except that child being aggressive. And she was kind of discussing in the comments how she thought that was unfair to the other kids because they're only in preschool for a short amount of time, and it's hard for them to leave the classroom, and why is that kind of fair to that one student that he gets or she gets to disrupt everyone else's learning? And maybe it'd be better to keep them in a calm down area or move that child to somewhere else versus having everyone else move. So this brought up some good points because I do see some of the things that she's saying. Is it fair to other students that have to evacuate a room because that child is upset and overwhelmed? No, but it is the safest option. And guys, I'm always going safest option. It is safety number one for me across the board. And while I'm also working on other strategies and maybe finding the right placement or right supports or right strategies for that student, I also am going to, in the moment of a crisis, go to the safest result. And if that child is being aggressive, I want to keep that child safe and everyone else in the class safe. it is not safe to touch or move a child that is super dysregulated, that is super overwhelmed, that is being aggressive. To move that child is going to be an unsafe situation for that child and the staff members doing that. It is a lot safer to remove the other students. It's not fair, but it's the reality of a lot of situations. What you want to do in the meantime while this is happening is think about where those other kids are going. When personally this happened for me a lot in my classroom, the students in my class went to the other self-contained room. And I was in a season where at some point this had to happen a lot more than I wanted to. So I set up work and a kind of mini schedule set up in that other classroom. So when my para took those other kids to the other room, it was almost like their second class in a way, even though they weren't there every day, but they had something to do. They had the routines in place. It didn't feel like I was just sitting in the hallway. They went somewhere. So I would say if this is happening frequently, to have a plan in place for those other kids that can keep them engaged and learning and feeling comfortable because they're going somewhere where they know. Now, if it's happening all the time, you of course want to look at your FBA and reevaluate strategies and reevaluate your behavior plan. You want to make sure this is the right placement, these are the right staffing, this is the right supports for that child. And we're also working intensely on preventing that behavior, not just responding when the problem behavior is happening. We're also intensely looking at preventing that behavior and constantly tweaking those strategies until we find the most effective ones. But do I agree with her that it's not fair? Yes. But am I going to still use that option when I'm kind of backed into a corner, sometimes quite literally? Also, yes, because I want to err on the side of safety always. And if that is what will be keeping those kids the most safe, that's what I'm going to do. So those were my spicy comments from the weekend. I'd love to know what you think. Would you have replied differently to any of the comments? Is there anything that you thought of that I didn't? I'm gonna head over to Instagram today and post about this again. So head over to Stories and come chat with me there or send me a direct message because I'd love to hear what you think. Thanks again for joining.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.